Matthew chapter 6 in our ongoing study on the Sermon on the Mount. We looked last week as we got into 6. We finished up with 5 and how the Beatitudes started with Jesus, how he thought was, here's what he taught us what kingdom citizens should look like. And then he got into with the Pharisees and the scribes and how their law didn't match his law. And he said, you've heard it said, but this is what I say. And he gave us 6 illustrations, and then he was showing us on what we should be as children of God, as kingdom citizens. And then we get into 6, and he's showing this is how kingdom citizens should act. So he's putting it into practical use. This is how we should act. And last week, he spoke about where he's talking about our charitable giving and how our righteousness before God. And we've got to look at our motives and why it is that we do the things that we do. And boy, that gets very quicky sometimes, doesn't it, when we weigh that out. He said, don't give for people to see. Don't do these things. But he said, do it in secret. Do these things between you and God. He says, God already knows. And so we continue on with that thought with prayer this morning. And I want us to think about, you know, none of us can comprehend exactly how prayer functions. We just know that God commands us to pray. And we were talking about sweet hour of prayer. And as we realize the power of prayer and what it means in our life, and where will we be? But how does it function within the infinite mind of God, the sovereign God that knows all things? And yet he commands us and expects us to pray as his children and spend time in prayer with him. And Jesus is going to cover that today on how, or the purpose of prayer is the title of our message. Before we get into the model prayer, which will be next week, that we all know very well, we're going to see the purpose of it and how God expects us that. And he tells us to take heed that we be careful that we don't give or do our righteous. But also, he says, we got to be careful about how we pray. Do you realize that sin cloaks itself in many areas of our life? If we're not careful, the most holy part when we come before a holy God, that precious time of prayer, that sin could be there also. Do you realize that? Sin lurks and it cloaks. And God says, listen, this is the way I want you to pray. This is the purpose how we are to pray. And so he's going to show us that today. And so I want us to think about this communion that we have with God through prayer. And my prayer is today that each and every one of us has that communion, and that if we're not praying like we are, we're always beat ourselves up about the lack of prayer and all that. But here's the deal. It's not to beat you up. It's for us to be drawn closer to God, that we can desire to have that time, that we can desire to fellowship him with him in this communion that he gives us in prayer. What a precious thing. How many of us could say that we've seen prayer change things? Amen. Amen. And so Jesus is warning us before he teaches us and gives us a model prayer on the purpose of prayer. And I want us to look firstly at the wrong approach in Matthew chapter 5. And let's stand on our feet first in reverence to reading of God's word. We'll read the scripture before we begin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. God's word said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So before he gives us the model prayer, most people call the Lord's Prayer, which I feel like that's John chapter 17, but the model prayer that he will give us on how he expects us to pray, and the disciples in Mark said teaches to pray. We know the model prayer that he gave us, but he's talking about the purpose. And I want us to first to see the wrong approach in verse 5. And it says in verse 5, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I want us to first look, just like in first chapter of verse 6, when he's saying the word when. Not if, okay? It's not if you pray, but when you pray. God expects his children to pray and have prayer time with him, each and every one of us. And so he expects that. And think about Judaism. Judaism was known for their prayers. They recited, they memorized from children. They had different prayers that they memorized. They would write them on their heads. They would put them on their feet. They had them on the doorpost everywhere. They taught their kids. So Judaism was known for being people of prayer. So of all people, they should know how to pray, right? But we see the disciples asking Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us how to commune. We can all learn from God's word this morning on how to pray and our purposes for prayer. He said, often in our walk with Christ, it's the idea of this putting off and putting on. He always usually deals with the things that we should put off before he shows us the thing that we should put on. And we have this same mindset, this idea of rejecting some things and injecting other things. And so he starts off with it. He's talking about get rid of these, or the shut out, that shall not, that idea of getting rid of. Jesus is going to show us what hypocritical prayer looks like. We all know what hypocrite, we don't like that word, right? The big H word. Ooh. Hypocrite was an actor that wore a mask, and they pretended to be something that they weren't. If we're not careful, we all put masks on every Sunday or even through the week. We pretend to be something that we're not, and God says he don't want that. He doesn't, especially doesn't want it when it comes to our prayer life. And so he's going to look at this, pointing out what hypocritical prayer looks like. And I want you to know that hypocritical prayer really focuses on itself, on yourself, not on God. And he's going to show us that instead of the one doing the prayer, we're not focused on the one that we should be praying to. We're thinking about the one that's praying, ourselves. Self's the biggest problem in all of us, okay? And I want you to look that when he's talking about hypocritical prayer, it's really the idea of praying to the audience of men. And he's dealing with that. It's praying to the audience of men. And I want you to know that when we see this hypocritical prayer, there's really four things that he points out. First is their practice. Look what it says. They love to pray. Now, I want you to know, is there anything wrong with loving to pray? No. We'll get that. We'll flesh all this out. But it says that they love to pray, this idea of hypocritical prayer, this praying for the audience of men. And then their posture. Look what they do. It says they love to pray standing. Is there anything wrong with loving to pray standing? No, in fact, many times we see people, we call on the prayer, they stand up. Nothing wrong with that, okay? And the places, look what it says next, synagogues and streets. Is there anything wrong? The synagogue was the house of worship. Jesus said, hey, listen, my house shall be called a what? A house of what? Prayer. Nothing wrong. The place that we come to worship should be a house of prayer. So nothing wrong with the synagogue. And in the streets. We know that the Lord commands us to pray without ceasing, and we'll talk about that a little later. So it's not necessarily the place. But we'll see number four is the problem, the purpose. To be seen. To be seen. Praying for the audience of men. Our objective in prayer is to commune with the Holy God. Not to be seen by men. Oftentimes when we become spiritual, we need a lot of spiritual people. We're not careful, you know what their problem is? They got the peacock syndrome. Strut around. That's not spiritual at all before God. In fact, he always says servant. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The servant. The person that serves. And so we understand this praying before men is looking for men's reward. Looking to be thought of what men think. Hypocritical prayer is focused on self. We can be attacked in our prayer time. In fact, I want you to think about Jesus' greatest attack. You remember Matthew chapter 4? He's prayed and he's fasted for 40 days. He's prayed and spent time with God. And what happens? Satan comes on the scene. We can be attacked at our greatest point sometime in our communion with God. In fact, all of us, if we admit, think of the things that we think of. When we were trying to get down to pray and spend time with God, and the things that come into your mind that Satan brings. Things to worry about, anxious things, all kinds of things. He does not want God's people to be in prayer and communion with God. Why? Because there's power in that. There's power in spending time with our God. And so I want us to keep in mind that Jesus was attacked during his great time. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. When he's praying, it says his sweat drop become like blood because he's getting ready to give his life for all of us, for the world. Man, some of your greatest attacks can come in your prayer time. I want us to keep that. When praying to be seen by men, your reward is from men, not God. He says you have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's not wrong to pray or love to pray. It's not wrong to stand and pray. It's not wrong to pray everywhere we are. But it's wrong to pray by just to pray to be seen. They ended up really praying to themselves, not to God. And that's, he's talking about, we need to get rid of this kind of praying. And then he says the right approach, verse 6. He says, but you, and I love it, he says you and your 8 different times in this verse. Okay, he's showing this intimacy, you and your, you know what, our prayer life is between us and God. It's a precious, intimate thing that we should cultivate all the time. And he says, but when you pray, what does he say? Go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret will reward you openly. That word, but always is contrast. When you pray, he said, this is the way the hypocrites pray, but this is the way you are to pray. And he says to go in, not to stand out where everybody can see, but he says to go in your room, the secret place. And that word actually means inner room. It's the idea of the most private place available. He's talking about that intimacy between you and God. He's saying, and this is talking about really praying for the audience, in the audience of God. Not praying for the audience of men, but praying in the audience of God. Let's point out some things. 4 things. The practice. What is the practice? Believers pray. He says you, when you pray. Believers pray. The place. Secret chamber. The posture. What do? They shut the door. It's a private thing. And then the purpose, lastly, communion with the Father. The right approach to prayer is that we pray in the audience of God. Jesus, again, he's restating Isaiah chapter 56 where he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Remember, it's when he drove out the money changers. And so he expects this to be a place of prayer, a place of praying people. We should be known, and as Donnie was talking about today, we should be known about being intercessors. Listen, for our country, we realize America, and yes, we're patriotic and all these things, but we realize that America is turning her face away from God. So we should pray even more. We should be intercessory prayer for our country, our leaders, all these things that we pray God. That he would turn us back, that we don't go down the road that we're heading. How many of us pray, or we spend more time complaining than we do praying? If we pray as much as we complain, we might see God do something. He says, shut the door. Shut out everything else that you can concentrate. It's not so much as a place, because listen, these Hebrews, these Jews that were there on the Sermon on the Mount, they had one room homes, okay? And I know everybody's seen War Room, right? Lift them up, Lord. I mean, it's a great thing having a prayer closet. Nothing wrong with that. It's not necessarily a place if we're not careful. The place becomes something just mundane, routine. Do you know that you can pray at any time before God? Should be a time that we get along with Him, a special place that we might have. But it's not so much the place as the mindset of being with God. Do you realize you can be publicly around all kinds of people, but you can be, when you enter into that prayer, your focus should not be on everybody else. It should be on that with God, that privacy with God. People say, well, I can't pray out loud. You're just talking. See, we've made it into something that it should never be. You're just communing with God. Don't worry about what everybody thinks about it. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your communion with God. And guess what? Whenever we go into that place with God, we don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. It's that idea of that shutting the door, meeting with God, you and your, you so many times there. Your private prayer life, you meet with your Father. You are to desire that intimacy with God. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. Listen. She's not here, Sandy, so I can talk about her, right? She's out sick, bless her heart. When we first started dating, I'm one of those guys that didn't believe in falling in love at first sight. Where'd that come from? I fell in love first time. When I first saw her, we in church together, it was over. It was over. Man, I lost weight. Yeah, I need to fall in love some more right now. No, listen. Listen. I lost weight. Why? Because I was so in love with her. And you know what? When we went out, we finally going out, I didn't sit out in the middle of everybody, right? What did I do? I said, can we have that booth over there? Because I didn't want to think about or concentrate on anybody coming through. I just wanted to spend time with her. It's a relationship. And see, we would just sit there, and wouldn't even hardly eat. We'd just sit there and gooey, gooey, gooey. relationship is with God. Do you desire that with Him? Do you desire to have just spend time with Him? Just that intimacy of being with your Heavenly Father? You'll find that place. You'll find that quiet time alone, because it is a relationship. And when we grasp a hold of that, yes, it will change the way that we communicate with a holy God. He desires to commune with each and every one of us. That's what blows my mind. The Creator and Sustainer of all the universe, created it all, sustains it all, wants to spend time with each and every one of us. He wants to have this intimate time. That is an awesome thought. And He's showing us here the purpose of our prayer is to spend with Him. And look what happens when we meet with Him with the right heart. He says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Again, we talked about these rewards. It's not just working to give. We talked about last week what it was our reward. The presence of God. You see, when He sees that we want to spend time with Him, you know what you do? You commune with Him. The reward is the relationship, folks. The reward is spending time with Him. It's, you know what? We want to know the will of God for our life, but yet we don't spend any time in communion with Him. When we spend time with Him, we become in this relationship, and we understand the Word of God, and it affects our lives and where we go and everything that we do. What a reward! When God's people live out this relationship that He's given us, does that mean it's going to be, oh, everything's so fine all the time? No, but it means no matter what we face, whatever comes in our life, that we have this relationship with God, and no matter what, we can get through. Those old hymns, we may not know who holds tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand. This whole idea is that purpose of relationship, and being able to function and go through life the way that God meant us to. The abundant life of John 10:10 is that relationship. He says He'll reward you openly. Don't forget, he uses the word Father so many times. I don't care how bad your relationship is with your earthly dad. You have a heavenly Father. You're a son or a daughter. You have a relationship with Him. How much time are you spending with your Father? How much time are you spending with Him? Really, the strength of our Christian walk deals with that. How much time we spend with Him. And then, right content. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, and when you pray, again, when you pray, not if, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. First, he's telling me he's talking about vain repetition. Meaningless petition he's talking about. It's really one word that refers to chatter. And he's saying, don't be like the heathen. So he's talking about the hypocrite, the hypocritical Jews, but he's also going to the Gentile. And he's saying, listen, we have these examples on what not to be. He said, you don't have to chatter. You don't have to. It's got this idea of this mantra. It's a superstition. Let me tell you, we can be very superstitious people. We can even take the model prayer, and we can make it into just a mundane thing. Our Father who art in heaven, we know it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But when we do it over and over and over again, we end up just saying it. And we don't grasp the meaning of what it is. You said, I don't want you to do that. The heathen were known for these mantras and this superstition. And the more they prayed and the longer they prayed, they felt like they could get a hold of God. There's no better example of that than when Elijah's up on Mount Carmel. Remember the prophets of Baal. 400 prophets, man, he's standing against one guy, one man. He's standing alone. And he let them go first. He said, put the offering on there. Whichever God calls fire down on our offering, that's the God. He's got all Israel up there, and here they are going against himself. And what they do, they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and he's over there chiding them. Hey, where's he at? You gone? He's using the bathroom. What's he doing? You know, he can't hear you. Pray louder. And they even cut themselves and sit until the blood ran. He steps up at the time of the offering, fixes the altar, pours water on it, prays 13 words. What happens? The fire fell. But don't be like the heathens. It's not in your many words. It's not in your eloquence. Praise God is not in our eloquence. He made me a preacher, and then he said it like this. I'm just a redneck country boy that He has saved. And it's not in, you know, sometimes I just use redneck language. Why? Because He made me that way. And I don't want to be something that I'm not. I think I should honor Him with my words, my mind, everything that I do. But sometimes I should never get so spiritual that I'm the peacock. I'm going to tell you, the more things you put on your wall sometimes, I've seen that syndrome happen many times. In fact, the more that I put on my wall, the more I realize how much I don't know, and how much I need to know, and how much I need to grasp a hold of the Savior. And how much, listen, each and every one of us, we're never going to arrive. We never get so spiritual that we don't need that connection with God. He's saying, man, don't do the vain repetition. He's speaking of religious ceremony, patterns used by pagans. And he's telling us, don't be like that. Don't use patterns. Don't fall into routine. You know we're people routine? I mean, we are. We like the routine, too. We want everything to be the same way. Everything. If we're not careful, that's how our prayer life becomes. Our quiet time with God. I found myself, I'm guilty. Look, you're a pastor. I'm guilty. I have this set of time sometimes, and you have to because of busyness. I set this time apart to spend with God, and if I'm not careful, I go in there and I read my Bible, I read these verses, I read my devotions, and I feel good about myself. I'm not even met with God, okay? I just went through the routine of it. And I get convicted of that. Sometimes I say, Lord, forgive me for just going through the routine like now. Oh, I did this, so you owe me this kind of day. I mean, seriously, if we're honest, we like the routine. Prayer should never be a routine, okay? Never should be a routine. And he's telling us, man. He said, and he's not forbidding repetition. How many of us have prayed? I've prayed prayers for years for certain people. He's not saying that's wrong. Repetition in certain loved ones that, Lord, I want you to see you save them. And some of them I pray every day. He's not talking about repetition. In fact, he has certain stories that he tells about. It's a good thing to be persistent, right? The stories that he gives is about the lady kept coming. Persistence. The stranger that comes in the night kept knocking on the door. Persistence. He's not talking about persistence in prayer. In fact, you think about Paul. Paul said, hey, he wanted that thorn removed. How many times did he pray? 3 times. Say, oh, Paul, you're praying too many times. No, he said, my grace is sufficient. Jesus, let this cup pass from me. He's not talking about repetition in our prayers. He's talking about it becoming just this routine. He's pointing out thoughtless prayer. Thoughtless prayer is offensive to God as heartless prayer is, okay? Just praying. Think about our relationship. And then sincere request, look at verse 8. Your Father knows. Now, if you could grasp that, okay? This is where I talk about that. Understanding of the sovereign God that we serve. And yet he desires this relationship. He desires for our prayer. Your Father knows the purpose of prayer is not to inform or persuade God, but it's to come before him sincerely, purposely, consciously, and devoutly. In fact, I love Martin Luther said, by our praying, we are instructing ourselves more than we are him. We're not instructing God in anything, okay? We're not informing him. He knows. He even knows the things that we don't verbalize that's deep in our heart. He knows. Prayer is the sharing, the needs, the burdens, the hungers of our heart. I like this at the state convention this past week. Alvin Reed said, prayer is the language of desire. It reveals what we desire, guys. What is your prayers? What does your prayers consist of? That's what we desire. The language of desire is our prayer. So we can look at that and see where our hearts are. And God wants us to know him. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to have a couple things. First is a realization. Realization of what we realize that we're in the presence of an almighty God. We talked about that last week. You're in the presence of God. Listen, that I really believe, and I talked about that, I believe that is the key to revival in our lives in America, is our realization that we're in the presence of a holy God at all times. He doesn't take time off. He doesn't step away from you. We step away from him. That realization when we come into prayer that we're before this holy God, we need to know who he is and what he is. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing when he points out here. He wants us to know that I'm entering in the audience chamber of that God, almighty, absolute, eternal God with his power and his might and his majesty. And yet he's our Father. Grasp that. Chew on that. Let that blow around on your mind a little bit. Hang that on the clothesline on your mind and let the Holy Spirit blow on that just a little bit. Alright? He's our Father, and yet he's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. you're His, a plan and a purpose for each and every individual here. He is our Father, and nothing that can happen can part us or separate us from Him. In fact, Ephesians 3 said, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think. Prayer is communion with that God. That's the prayer that He expects from His children. Not only a realization, but a confidence. I want you to think. The simple confidence of childlike faith. Childlike in our faith. You know what he's talking about there? Just believing. You take a child, a young child, you can tell them if they trust you. You can tell them anything. They believe it, don't they? It's amazing. And God says, sometimes I want you to just have that childlike faith and believing in the promises of my word, the realization of my presence, and just live in that confidence. In fact, the word of God says to come with what? Boldness before the throne of grace. Not a peacock. Not a peacock strutting around, I'm confident. No confidence in ourselves, but a confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can come boldly with confidence before the throne of grace because of my Savior and what He's done. And the blood of Jesus Christ that reconciles me back to this God, I can come in the presence of a holy God. Praise God, I talked to a lady this week. Praise God, I don't have to have a priest that does that for me. But He is my high priest. That I can come at any time, the death hour of midnight, I can wake up with something on my mind. I can come into the presence of God because of Jesus and what He's done. The first thing in the morning when my knees hit the ground, I can come into the presence of God because of what Jesus has done for us. It will make you live with power. And your life will have power when you understand that you're a child of God. And you can enter with confidence, not only this realization of who God is, and you're in His presence, but also the confidence of being His child. Relationship with Him. But relationship requires communication. Again, back to my marriage. What if I didn't talk to Sandy? I mean, really, what if I didn't spend any time with her? I mean, what if I didn't say anything all day? It's just like I recognize she's there, but I'm not going to talk to her because I'm too busy. What kind of relationship would that be? Probably a frying pan relationship, right? Thank God it's not with God. But that relationship, that understanding of knowing that He's there, and for me, wants to communicate with me. How busy can I get that I don't communicate with Him? Well, what kind of relationship is that? We answer that by the time that we spend with Him. He likes for us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He likes for us to be that we hunger to be. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth. We should pant. We should thirst after Him. I'm glad you get. I don't know what you're talking about there, honey. She didn't quite get that. Listen, you got to want to learn the love of God. How's that? I even had it on silence. Okay, here we go. Listen, but I want you to think about the idea in the Scripture. This will help you a whole lot because I know you say, well, I'm busy. I don't have the time, and when I think about it, I've already come back. Listen, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You say, how in the world? All I'm going to get done is, no. You know what it's talking about there? It's talking about a God consciousness. It's talking about everywhere you are. Listen, when you go on that job in the morning, guess what? God's right there with you. When you're riding in the car, God's right there with you. When you get up in the morning, He's there. When you go to bed at night, He's there. The psalmist said, lo, He is with me. Everywhere I go. It's a God consciousness. And then when I understand He's there with me, then I can talk to Him and never be, and nobody else ever hear it. In fact, I'm saying thank you, God. A lot of times when I'm preaching, He gives me stuff I didn't study, and I'll say, thank you, Father, for that. Because listen, I can't take any credit for it. It had to come from Him. And I can say thank you. And so I commune with Him even when I'm preaching. You can commune in Him right where you are. How do we pray without ceasing is we have a God consciousness at all times. Now, there should be a time where I sit apart and I spend time in earnest, but if it's just this God consciousness before long, I miss out on that opportunity with spending that precious time with Him where I don't have all these things where I'm driving the car and all these other things. But there's also a God consciousness that I can commune in Him with all the time, pray without ceasing. And I can ask Him to help me in all situations. Whatever faces those people that you're getting ready to go off on. Lord, help me. Please, God. Help me to be Christ. not to respond in my flesh, but to respond as Christ would. He wants us to pray without ceasing. He does not stand between me and my desires or that which is best for me. He's not that type of God. His best is our fullness in Christ. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. How are you communing? How's your communion with God? How is your relationship with God? You hear me talk about this vertical relationship because it affects all other relationships. A lot of times this is messed up and out of whack because this is. So we keep that communication lines open. We keep His Word close at hand. We pray. We ask Him. This is how He speaks back to us, by the way. How He communicates back. He wrote a love letter for each and every one of us. It's called His Word. Lynn, if you'll come and play, and we'll think about our time of decision and how it is that God has spoke to us through His Word, because His Word does not return void. But I want us to think about these things, our applications in our life. First, is your public prayer life bigger than your private prayer life? Now, this is pointed a lot at myself, okay? Do I pray more in public and before people than I pray in private? Each and every one of us has to answer that question. How is your prayer life? Number two, do I realize that I'm in the presence of God when I pray? That'll change the way, change a lot of the things that we ask for. Do I realize that I'm in His presence? And lastly, is what are your desires? What are your desires? Do you look at God like a divine butler or waiter, garçon, or pull him out like a billfold whenever you need him, put him back up in your pocket when you don't? What are your desires? If our desire is for Him, He'll change our lives. It will be manifested in the way that we speak. It will manifest in the way that we act. It will be manifested in that which we long for. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you this morning, but we'll give you an opportunity, just a short time. We won't linger long. God's spoken to you. If there's somebody here, I want you to know something. If there's somebody here that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is plumb foreign. They're thinking, but you realize that through your, I need to have this relationship with God. The only way you can have that is through receiving Christ as your personal Savior, because He died on Calvary for you. But He rose again on the third day that you can have that relationship with God if you believe on Him. So if you need Christ, you come forward and see me when, as soon as she starts singing. If you realize, hey God, you know what? I just don't have the prayer life that I need. Give that to God this morning. If my desires, Lord, is more for taking care of my needs than it is really to know You. However it is that Lord's spoken to your life, respond in obedience. As soon as Brittany starts singing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Do you realize you're in His presence? Can you truly say you surrender all?
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
If coming forward is maybe foreign to you, you know you don't have a relationship with Christ, do not leave here without Him. I'll take the time to show you through God's Word. I won't give you my opinion, but I'll take God's Word and show you how you can have that relationship. If you're not praying like you should, guess what? Spend that same time. He's not here to beat you up. He just wants that relationship.